Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi everyone, this is KK Downing of Judas Priest and you're listening to Talking Metal, so you know what to do. Crank it up.
Hi, this is Ian Hill from Judas Priest and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey everybody, this is Rob Halford, the Metal God from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
A stripped-down rock and roll flamethrower, the Gibson Les Paul BFG is the most powerful Les Paul Gibson has ever made. Blasted back to the bare essentials, the BFG is the Les Paul for guitarists who want it loud, raw, and wild. Two volumes in one tone knob control the sonic spectrum put out by a high-power burst bucker, three humbucker in the bridge, and a screaming single coil P90 in the neck. An innovative powerhouse, the Gibson Les Paul BFG has no binding, no figure top, no finishing touches. This gives the BFG a distinctive look that is both modern and vintage while allowing for a price that makes pure Les Paul performance available to all players. The result is a perfect storm of eye-catching style, incredible tone, and unbeatable playability, all at a great price. Check it out at Gibson.com/BFG.
Welcome to one of the most listened to music podcasts in the world. This is Talking Metal.
First song from Hellbent for Leather by Judas Priest, originally recorded in 1978.
What an amazing record, Hellbent for Leather. So many great songs on that record. And some of the songs Judas Priest almost went a little funky with, and including Delivering the Goods. You can kind of feel that funkiness behind all the hard rock and metal there. A lot of great songs on that record. Rock Forever was a song that I loved. Of course, the title track and the classic Green Manalishi is on that record. Highly recommended, Hellbent for Leather by Judas Priest. Some of my other favorite Judas Priest records are Defenders of the Faith, Screaming for Vengeance, Unleashed in the East.
Yeah, Painkiller's great, Ram It Down, bunch of cool stuff.
Absolutely. And we have been really honored because we had Scott Travis, who is the drummer of Judas Priest and also of Racer X. He was the drummer, and he was, I think, our first interview, like long interview that we sat down. It was on the phone, but we interviewed him, and then we sat down with Rob Halford in a diner a few months after that and had a great interview. And today we are just blessed because we have another amazing member of this amazing band. And this is one of the original members who formed this band back in the early 70s, KK Downing.
Yeah, we are just so honored to have KK on the show, and we're going to get to that interview in just a bit. First, Mark, what have you been up to?
My wife and I were trying to sell our apartment and buy a house, and it's just been very stressful and insane. And it looks like things are moving ahead with the process, though. So who knows? Maybe sometime in the near future we'll do a podcast from my new house, assuming it all works out in Essex County there, right down the street from Frank from Guns N' Roses, actually.
Absolutely. I was going to mention that you guys are going to be neighbors. And speaking of Guns N' Roses, those guys are preparing for their big tour coming up, and I've been doing some work for Robin, getting him all set up for that guitar-wise, and really looking forward to hearing Guns N' Roses live and on record in the near future, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I just got an email from Bumblefoot yesterday, and he emailed. I mean, this is what an amazing guy Bumblefoot is. I gave him my band CD, the Ronin CD. He sent me a special email to tell me how great he liked this, you know, he thought the CD was, and he said he really likes it. And that's very cool coming from a guy who's in Guns N' Roses, and I appreciate that. And Bumble said that they are just about, they've either started rehearsal or they're just about to start rehearsal for the Japanese tour and the South African tour. So you guys over there in South Africa, brace yourself. Guns N' Roses will be arriving on your shores very soon, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun show, as every Guns show is.
Out in Japan, all you guitar shops, keep an eye out for the Guns N' Roses crew, because I told them to check out the great Epiphone Japan guitars that are made in Japan for release in Japan, and I own one of them myself. So all you people in music stores, keep an eye out. These guys might be coming around to check them out.
Yeah, you're probably hearing this podcast either Monday or Tuesday, and I just want to let you guys know that Tuesday night, which is March 20th, we will be doing another live show. And I think Q-Ball, who's actually one of Bumblefoot's good friends, and Bumblefoot does a lot of music with Q-Ball, probably will be joining us on the Alien Rock portion of the live show, which again comes off of TalkingMetalLive.com. So please log in around 7 o'clock East Coast time. We usually go to about 10. And I know some people on the West Coast were complaining that that's too early for them. But that's the guys at Bionic all have early morning jobs here on the East Coast, as did John and I. And, you know, it's tough to get people to broadcast until 2 in the morning. But maybe sometime we will go late, maybe do a special West Coast live show. But not this week. This week is 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. TalkingMetalLive.com. Please tune in. And also check out TalkingMetalForums.com. What do you think of the forums, John?
I think they're great. I thank John Casimano for setting those up. I know Mark and John Casimano are constantly on there. I am on there as well. Not as much. Believe me, I wish I could spend all my time on the forums, but unfortunately, I've just been a little stressed and a little crazy lately. I've got like a ton of stuff going on, but as soon as I clear up my schedule a bit, I will be on those forums just as much as everybody else, because they are very, very cool. Also, check out the TalkingMetalLive.com page on Tuesday, because we may have some additional special guests coming by the studio for the show, and we want to definitely let you all know about that, but we just don't want to announce it before it is time.
Cool. And yeah, if you sign up for the Talking Metal Forums, again, TalkingMetalForums.com, John Casimano, a.k.a. Exciter, has posted a Read Me First bulletin, and that just, if you can read that, that'll help you get your password and stuff. And sometimes the password is ending up in people's spam folders, so if you sign up, please know you're going to get a password. I think just almost immediately. And if you don't see it in your inbox, do check your spam folder, and it might be in there. And we love to chat with you on the forum. Bert Gabriel is hanging out in the forum. I see Donnie G is actually signed up, but he hasn't done any posting yet. Hope to hear from you soon, Donnie. Jayhawk, you know, we got Jay there. E-Fish, a lot of cool people hanging out on the forum. And I am hanging out there too. So please come hang out, do some posting on the Talking Metal forum. By the way, another great radio show, not only the Talking Metal live radio show, but another great radio show is Alice Cooper's radio show, which he does syndicated throughout the country here. And Ronnie James Dio on the March 21st. Yeah, March 21st. That's a Wednesday, actually. Just pulled up the calendar. That's the day after the live show. Ronnie James Dio will be joining Alice Cooper on his radio show. So check your local listings for that. I'm pretty excited for the Heaven and Hell show. I think we're going to get together for some beers at a place called Channel 4, which is on 48th Street and 6th Avenue, before the show. We hope the Talking Metal crew can come down and hang out with us.
Absolutely. And I believe that that bar is called Channel 4 because it is right next to the NBC building, and Channel 4 is in that building. Is that true?
Yeah, it's right next to Rockefeller and across the street from Sirius. Ian Christie and I were at Channel 4 the other day trying to do an interview for this podcast, actually, and it was way too loud, and we had to flee Channel 4 and go to this deli next door, which was kind of fun. It's just Ian Christie and myself sitting there drinking Heinekens in a deserted deli after hours. And then I actually ended up running into Scott Ian right after that. We did some chatting, of course, about Battlestar. He was all psyched up. I've actually seen the Battlestar finale, and it blew my mind, and it is good stuff. Please tune in Sunday night at 10 p.m. for the Season 3 Battlestar Galactica finale, 10 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel here in the United States. So that's about it, man. I think we should maybe jump into the interview, maybe remind people to check us out on myspace.com/talkingmetal. Post a comment. We do read all those comments, and we appreciate it. John, somebody just posted something yesterday saying that you asked all the right questions of Carmine Appice with that great interview you did with him last week.
Thanks very much, all of you guys. I had a great time interviewing Carmine. He's been one of my favorite drummers my whole life, and he's just such a nice guy. And, you know, we encourage all of the listeners to check out his website, CarmineAppice.com, and he's got a ton of cool stuff coming out. I'm really excited about this Carmine Appice's Slam project that he's going to be doing, and I appreciate all of you who listened to that interview.
Awesome. And some of the older episodes still aren't downloading properly. We do know about that. We have gotten your emails, and I'm actually going to have a call into some of our tech guys out there in Washington State, where they are, and we're going to try to get that resolved this week. So all the new episodes, you know, download without problem. So if you do have any problems, you know, let us know. We do want to know about that. And that's about it. Let's get into some more Priest, and let's talk to KK Downing. I want to play some priests that sometimes people forget about, the Ripper Owens era.
Yeah, Ripper is an unbelievable singer, and as you'll hear in this interview, KK says he's even singing better than ever now.
Yeah, and a big special thanks to the guys over at Chipster PR for hooking up the interview with KK Downing. All spoken dialogue and interviews on the Talking Metal. All spoken dialogue and the interview in today's podcast are copyright 2007 by Talking Metal. .com. So check that out. So check this interview out. It's great stuff, and we're going to end the show, I think, with some more KK stuff.
Yeah, we're going to end the show with a great track called Deceiver by Violent Storm. That is Mick Cervino's band. KK was the executive producer on the album, which is called Storm Warning, and KK played guitar on a couple tracks, Deceiver and another great track called War No More. And we actually are going to feature Mick Cervino on an upcoming episode of Talking Metal. I did an interview with him recently, and he is a great guy. You guys may know him from playing with Yngwie. He's played with Ritchie Blackmore, has a great history playing bass with a lot of great bands.
And we would appreciate you showing support for Violent Storm. Again, KK Downing is the executive producer. He plays on it. And Roy Z, who did those great Bruce Dickinson solo records and also did the Halford records, He's working with Sebastian Bach. He's worked with Judas Priest. He is the engineer on it. Yngwie Malmsteen plays at least one guitar solo on the record, and it is really a great, exciting record that you guys should definitely check out. And again, we'll end today's podcast with a little music from that. But right now, we're going to get into some music, some Judas Priest, and then right into the KK interview. Keep the emails coming, talkingmetal@yahoo.com. If you haven't sent us an email, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, know where you're, you know, get to know you and find out where you're checking in from. That would be great.
And don't forget to check out the great website, Gibson.com, because on this site you can check out Gibson guitars, Epiphone guitars, Slingerland drums. There's all kind of great other gear, Kramer guitars, and a lot of great stuff on Gibson's site. Most notably, they just put out the brand new Jimmy Page signature double neck ES-1275.
As you know, John, I love Gibsons, and I'm happy that they're involved with the Talking Metal podcast. It's a true honor to have them on. Big shout out to the guys at 4QRadio.com, too. That's a great extreme metal podcast that I've been listening to, which actually one of our listeners emailed me about, and they rock. 4QRadio.com.
I think Randy from Lamb of God is involved with that, too. Sometimes he does some guest spots on it.
Speaking of Lamb of God, we're going to have some more stuff with them real soon, real soon. So anyways, let's get into some Judas Priest and an interview that we did earlier this morning with KK Downing.
Right now, here is Bullet Train from the album Jugulator featuring Tim Ripper Owens on vocals.
Start off by talking about, you have a brand new website up.
Yes, I do. Just fired up just literally a week ago.
And what's amazing is that there were so many people going to this website that it went down for a short time and now it's back up again. That's actually such a cool thing that so many people wanted to go to kkdonning.net.
Yeah, it was a bit of a panic really, because I actually launched the site last Friday and it literally crashed into oblivion on Saturday. So we eventually got to the bottom of it, really, but had to switch servers in the middle of the night, and so my guys was literally up all night, you know, panicking, and so that's pretty cool. So we went, obviously, with a big server in the States as that could give us as much power as we needed, really, to keep going.
Very, very cool. What I think is really great about the site is it's called KK Downing Steel Mill. My father worked in steel mills for over 30 you come up with that?
Yeah, I guess really exactly the same thing. I grew up in that type of environment, and you know, most of my family worked in factories, foundries, or steel mills, literally, you know, because I actually come from an area, I didn't know until, literally, until I grew up what it was called the Black Country, but apparently, you know, in not too many years gone by, really, it was just basically full of industry, coal mines, and slag heaps, and all of that sort of thing, and it literally was not much colour, I'm afraid. And I don't know, I may have been Queen Victoria, I don't know, but somebody, you know, sort of titled it the Black Country, and I guess it was pretty grim. But having said that, you know, us as kids, whatever, we grew up not knowing any different, fun places to play, you know, on slag heaps and lots of places to explore, and we didn't know any different, so... And we grew up in that environment, and it was pretty cool. I mean, it was we didn't have a lot in the way of luxuries, but in respect of the music, I guess it was. Some people put it down to all the hammering and the, you know, and then all the noises of industrial machinery, and a lot of people think that's we grew up with that. All of that heavy metal sound in our veins. Anyway, it's a cool story, even if there's nothing in it.
It's great because, you know, that's part of your past, but then it really ties right into heavy metal and your guitar playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that the two bands that are always, you know, looked at as really inventing heavy metal, if you will, Judas Priest and Black Sabbath, both came from that steel background, you know?
That's right, yeah. Well, to me, it's just totally... goes hand in hand, you know, obviously with what we do, I guess, you know, if I'd have been, you know, born in the South, you know, with all cotton fields, and maybe I'd have been a blues singer, you know, and playing the blues, but I guess, you know, you've had the influence as a youngster growing up, so I think that it's a big part of it, and naturally when I became interested in music, it was just about making, you know, kind of the same kind of sounds, you know what I mean? I can't really explain it, but it was just, you know, the very rhythmical sort of, basically, it was basically riffs, wasn't it? You know, heavy metal grew from basically riffs, which is very kind of regimented riffs that sort of, and not too dissimilar to, you know, the symmetrical noises that machinery makes, you know.
Cool. Now, one of the things that I thought was great is that the mill workers who work on the website, one of them is going to put together a PDF complete biography that people can download and print, and that's a great idea.
Yeah, and let's say we're going to really endeavour to get it also into as many languages as we can. You've probably noticed on the site there's we've got interpretations from most countries, you know. So we're just looking to add Turkey. I just found a lady that can translate into, you know, the Turkish language, so that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So we keep adding as we go along. And any important bits of information, as much as we can, we'll try and post as much as we can in different languages.
And usually we touch on this towards the end of our interviews, but what I thought was also cool is there's a section called Downing Street, and it talks about all of your gear, and it actually has pictures of you with all of your V's and with your you know, recording gear, and that is very cool.
Yeah, I say obviously the site, I wanted to make it as versatile and as unselfish as possible, really. Obviously, there's some neat stuff on there, but I think one of the main thing is that both myself and the mill workers, obviously, we're all very interested in lots of other bands and different music, so we're looking to feature bands, maybe well-known, maybe not known at all. It doesn't really matter, really. So it's kind of that kind of site as well, if you know what I mean. I think that's kind of, hopefully, will keep things pretty interesting for people to want to check out and see what us guys at the mill think is pretty cool.
Very cool.
And speaking of bands that are pretty cool, I wanted to talk to you about Violent Storm and your involvement with this great new CD, which is called Storm Warning. How did you get hooked up with Violent Storm?
Yeah, I think I can put that down to beer.
Beer.
Backstage, a couple of cold ones backstage, you know. I think I was actually down in Miami with when we were on tour, when Ripper was in the band, and those guys came along to they were living down there together with a bunch of other people, you know, a couple of, Nico, the drummer from Iron Maiden,
sure,
and some other people, just hanging around as you do. It's kind of something you kind of look forward to when you get into certain territories, you know, hooking up with people. But then I guess it must have been about a year later, I think I was in Spain, and me and a buddy, and one of the mill workers actually, another good beer drinker,
yeah.
he'll know what I mean, and we were pretty bored. It's great, you know, the sun is great, and yeah, the beer was pretty good, you know, pretty girls can't complain, the south is, you know, the Costa del Sol, no problem, but no metal. So we decided to just jump on a plane and go to Barcelona, because being there, Malmsteen band was playing this pretty cool place, gig there. So, and of course, Barcelona's always good for some excitement, you know, it's a happening town. And we saw the gig, and I met up with Mick there again, I guess, and I think he mentioned it to me again there, and all he said was, do you fancy playing, you know, a couple of solos? That's how it started,
right,
of course. Sure, make sure, you know, let's have another beer, and send me the CDs, and they actually turned up. So I put them on, played the couple of songs that he wanted me to play on, which I think was, War and Deceiver. And I thought, well, hang on, this is pretty cool, I recognise this, you know, this sounds totally familiar. And of course, being a real fan of, like, you know, sort of, I don't really want to date myself, and I shouldn't do, you know, but obviously growing up through the 60s and obviously those wonderful decades, the 70s and the 80s, just to actually be there to witness and fortunately to be a part of the evolution of rock and metal and the music we love today, obviously I would like to see keep going. I would like lots of young musicians to still see a good value in doing, you know, and writing and performing exactly that style of music, because I think there's still a long way to go with it yet, and obviously we're still hopefully going to be doing more for some years to come, you know, laying down good solid classic metal.
Now, you're listed as the executive producer on this record. Does that mean, like, you were actually involved in the producing and mixing with, I know the great Roy Z was involved in mixing the record. Were you working hand in hand with him?
Yes. I wrote my good buddy Roy, who obviously was, he had not that long, I guess, finished the Angel of Retribution album. So that was the first time I actually worked with Roy, and really enjoyed that. And I actually got him to play some guitar on there as well, because he's a good, well, actually he's in the Halford band.
Yeah, sure.
And so Roy is a tremendous all-rounder, you know, so I needed some help on this project. And so basically I essentially pulled Roy into do some remixes and re-record a bunch of stuff, well, pretty much most of it really. But obviously my part, obviously, overseeing everything, not only just as a producer to get the best out of the artists and the best out of all the team that's working on the record, obviously went further than that, obviously with anything really, artwork, logos, some titles, rearranging, and so basically a producer plus them, if you know what I'm saying.
Definitely.
But anyway, myself and Roy, we had a really great time on it, really, but I was obviously had the ultimate say, because I think even Roy, as killer as he is, he's not as old as me, so I've been doing it longer. So, you know, I've learned a few extra tricks of the trade,
right,
I think, really.
Definitely. It's funny you mentioned the Halford record that, actually a bunch of records that Roy was involved with, and I know Glenn Tipton has had some solo releases out. Would KK Downing ever consider putting out a solo record?
Absolutely, but it's just a case of when, really, because, I mean, Rob, band, as everybody knows, around about 1990, and then obviously we had a spell, long spell, where we didn't actually have a singer at all, you know, and that's when Glenn thought, well, this, if I'm going to do something, you know, there's some time here to do what he did. But basically, I didn't do the same because, I don't know, it was a bit weird for me because I was still, you know, having been in Priest all of my life, if you know what I mean, it was, I was just kind of more intent on keeping that alive, and that's what I did, you know. So maybe I missed, in a way, the slot to actually do that in the same way that Glenn did. But sure, at some point, you know, and who knows when, it would be pretty cool for me to do that. So lots to think about, but obviously at the moment, Priest has still got a long way to go, especially now we've just come off a fantastic 18-month, you know, touring with Rob around the world, and it's great to have that back. So now we think that the album and the tour has re-established the band, obviously. So now we'll have to look to the future.
Great. Now, the Nostradamus project, I read that you guys have at least about 18 songs, and you said that you're hoping that this could be a double record.
Yeah, I think Rob mentioned that as well in a couple of interviews. He said, it's a big project, you know. It's a sizable project that we're undertaking, so it's pretty exciting times. We're hard at work at the moment, laying it down on a daily basis, and we'll get the task completed as soon as we can.
The Nostradamus record is, I guess, what you'd call a concept record. Is it different to write a concept record than just, say, a non-concept record? Do you have to keep a theme going, you know, more than just lyrics? I mean, musically, do you try to keep a theme going throughout the record?
Well, I think that obviously it's new territory even for us, so, but we basically just started out the way that we normally do, just being very productive as we possibly can musically and putting ideas together. And I'll say it's still very much work in progress, so really I couldn't say anything definitive at this point, you know, in any respect, because I think as most musicians out there would verify the fact that, you know, everything changes right up until the last second, really, you know. So as I said, the only thing I can say is the fact that we'll be, you know, delving into every aspect of every song and every piece of music as much as we can to get the best out of it. And as I said, we'll have it hopefully in the shops as soon as we can. But we are definitely sweating buckets, you know, working hard, I can promise you that.
Definitely, cool. Kiki, I wanted to congratulate you on the VH1 Rock Honors performance, because you guys were unbelievable. I was out there, and I actually did a short red carpet interview with you, and you guys just really kicked ass on stage.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a fantastic thing for us to do, really. And obviously with a large British contingency there, Queen and Def Leppard and stuff, it was, and it was great to be the first. And I don't know if you could actually enlighten me, but since I'm over this side of the Atlantic, as to whether there's going to be another one this year, because I would certainly be looking forward to that.
Yeah, there absolutely is going to be one. It's going to be in May, so if you want to make a trip over here, definitely let me know, and I'll get you all set up, because I also work for VH1. And this year, Ozzy is going to be honored, and then a lot of great rock acts, Genesis, ZZ Top, and Heart are going to
be
honored. Wow,
that's super cool.
Yeah, so it's very cool, and definitely I was gonna say, you know, if you have some time out in the recording, you know, come on out to Las Vegas, and it's gonna be a great time again.
Well, I would definitely like to take up that offer, so, but it's gonna be doubtful, I guess, because we're gonna be finishing off the record. But if I get a chance, I will be there, because that's such a fantastic time, and what a place to have that event as well, Las Vegas. You know, it's loads of fun.
Yeah, I had a blast out there. I was there for a whole week, and I was wiped out by the time I got back.
Yeah, we were too. I mean, after flying out there to do a one-off thing, you know, we'd be off the road for quite great honour. We just felt really, really, we were just on a total high, I would have to say, you know. And then it was all over suddenly, you know.
Right, yeah.
And we thought, well, that went fast, let's do it again, you know, like tomorrow would be cool.
Cool, very cool.
So, KK, I was in a guitar shop here in New York City about a week ago, and there was a young kid. I would say this guy was probably 14 years old, and he was, you know, testing out a guitar that I guess maybe he wanted to buy, and he was playing Living After Midnight on the guitar as he was testing it out, and I just thought, this kid is 14 years old. I mean, these Judas Priest songs have just held the test of time so well, and still young kids today just relate to them and grab on to them, you know, far more than most of the rock that came out in the 80s and 90s and 70s. Why do you think Judas Priest has had such staying power?
Well, hopefully, I think the one thing about Priest is, to start with, we were never ever an overnight success. You know, some bands have been fortunate enough, well, I say fortunate enough to have been that, but we always felt that Priest was, you know, building and building, working and working and building, and we never really ever took anything for granted and always kept our feet on the ground and just good hard workers, I think, and for that reason I think that we've been over the years, dare I say decades, we've been pretty productive, I think, really, you know, made a lot of songs, and fortunately we've got some of those songs that do kind of stick, I think, you know, and whether it's like The Ripper or yeah, Another Thing Coming, and as you say, Living After Midnight, you know, Breaking the Law, whatever, it's, and hopefully those songs will be around forever, because maybe we've been playing them for that long that, you know what I mean, they're embedded in people's minds, but that's not a bad thing. But as I said before, I think we've been playing for what, we're in the 2000s now, we've played through the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, that's four decades, and so hopefully we can go into the fifth decade at some point.
Well, I'm sure I will.
I don't know, I can only surmise, you know, as to what the reality is as to why that happens, but we're very fortunate to be able to be aware that exists, you know, and obviously the young fans are very, very important to us.
Absolutely, and KK, speaking of young fans playing guitars, Gibson Custom Shop is doing something that's really, really cool, and I saw a picture of you with the KK Downing signature Flying V, and they're doing a Judas Priest series where they're going to make 30 limited edition sets where you get the Glenn SG and the KK Flying V. How did you guys hook up with that? It's great.
Yeah, I guess Gibson just kind of approached us. I think that they're doing limited edition things, and so they wanted to do one with us. And actually, I've just been playing the one that they made for me, which is an exact replica, as you say, of my 1967 Flying V. Gibson originally only made 111 of that particular model in that year. It's the one with the more pointy headstock.
Your headstock is longer than the
headstock.
Yeah,
that's right. And obviously they're pretty rare, the original ones. And but the one they've made for me, which I've got right here, and it's plugged in right now, and they've done an absolutely incredible job. I must say that, you know. I mean, cool. I don't know what they're going to sell for. I probably wouldn't pay that much. But but then again, I didn't. They've just actually put on a felt-tip pen in gold on the back, KK Downing Prototype 1. I don't know why they did that, you know. They didn't even put a year or anything on there, you know. But I've actually got that, and I'm pleased to have it because, I say, it is an exact replica. And they took a long time measuring every inch of my original, you know, to do that.
Wow, that's really cool. I like the fact that you've got the pickup surrounds on it, which you don't see on, like, all of these, and I think that's cool. Plus, the bridge has plastic saddles on.
Yes, it does. I probably, and can't remember, really can't, I may have changed them because they're easy to kind of cut a little bit, you know, to maneuver, but I don't know. I really can't remember on that score, but they may well have been original, you know. That's all I can say. The interesting thing, where the actual the jack plug plugs into the guitar, you probably noticed on that one, there's like a round disc.
Yeah, it's like you see on like a Les Paul or something.
Yeah. Well, what actually happened was, on the original, the that wasn't there. That's the smaller thing that you plug into just went straight onto the plastic scratch plate. And obviously in those days, you just so often used to tread on your cable and wang the guitar around, and obviously in this instance, it sort of cracked the plastic. So I just put a washer, a big washer on top, and one underneath, just to fortify the plastic, really. So,
that's great.
But they've even copied that, you know.
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. It happened to me, believe it or not, on stage once, and I stepped on the cord. It pulled it out, and the actual scratch plate just fell off, and it cracked. And so
well, there you go.
I got to do what you did. I'm going to get two discs and put one under it and one on top of it. That's a great
exactly.
idea.
Exactly, and it's my original's been like that for a long, long time. So it's a quick fix, but it works, and looks pretty cool too.
Yeah, absolutely, very, very cool.
KK, we are very honored that you've joined us today, and just a few more questions for you, but we just wanted to thank you for giving us all the great heavy metal and hard rock music throughout the years.
No problem at all. Thank you guys for flying the flag as well and keep things going and may it long continue.
Great. Now, have you heard from Ripper Owens much? Are you still in contact with him?
No, he's been out on tour with his band, and I've got the new record, and he seems to be singing even better.
Wow.
His voice is getting better and better. I mean, it was incredible to start with. So, but he, Tim, he's a fantastic guy. What a singer, what a talent. You know, it's only a matter of time, really, because he's such a fantastic all-round guy.
He kept the flame burning with you guys when Rob was off doing some other things.
Did, and we're very indebted to him for that.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Talking Metal podcast. We'd love to get into some music right now off the Violent Storm CD. How about a little Deceiver?
Yeah, that sounds good. Let it rock.